Today I'm speaking with Dr. Gaia Hawk. She is the Mississippi State University FFA advisor. Dr. Hawk, tell us what drew you to your career in agricultural education.
I grew up in southeast Kansas in a very rural community. My parents were educators, while my grandparents still farmed mainly soybeans, and then my uncle took over the farm. But I always grew up in agriculture, living 4 miles from the farm and being out there at every opportunity I could. It was in high school, though, whenever my passion really ignited through my experience with the National FFA organization. Jayhawk Lynn High School in Mound City, Kansas, and the ag teacher is still there, Mr. Bill Johnston. They just built a new ag facility. We toured it over Christmas. It's just phenomenal what he's done with that ag program there. And so I think that's where I really developed my skills and my passion for agricultural education and went on to Kansas State University to get a BS in Ag Ed. I taught high school in Kansas for 6 years at Center High School. Absolutely loved it, loved the community. And then just something called me to go on and advance my degree, and I studied agricultural education at Texas Tech University to get a PhD. Where I'm at now is at Mississippi State University, hopefully preparing young people to go in and be effective and successful teachers in their own high school ag programs.
How would you say collegiate FFA differs from the high school and middle school chapters?
So one of the biggest things is that as a high school FFA advisor, I could see those kids every single day. We always had something that we were working on that was intercurricular, related to the curriculum that we were building on and we were advancing and we were getting ready to do. And at the collegiate level, it's very different in that I don't see these students every day, nor are all of them my students in terms of their academic degree. I get students from poultry science, from mechanical engineering, from horticulture. They're not all what I would say my kids. Another big difference that I try to express to the students is they're no longer competing for competition's sake. They are learning how to get other young people ready for those competitions. Those are two of the big things that I see as big differences between the two.
So what types of projects or activities do your collegiate members do?
The collegiate FFA here at Mississippi State was around, but we rejuvenated it and got an official charter whenever I came in the fall of 2012. And since then, we've done several really neat activities in terms of branching the collegiate members back down to the chapter members. And in Mississippi, we have a junior FFA with junior FFA officers. It's very unique. It's the only state that really does that. And so we have the opportunity to work with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders as well as the high school members. So a couple of the neat things that I've really enjoyed getting going is we have a speech critique event where students come and have very focused time with collegiate members to work on their public speaking skills and to develop those abilities and to get critique and feedback real time, and they practice over and over again. Another event we did this year that was very successful is we had students come to Mississippi State campus one Friday, and then the next Friday, another set of students went to the FFA Center down in Raymond, Mississippi, and the collegiate members had workshops on parliamentary procedure, prepared public speaking, extemp, opening and closing, and a couple others that were what we call the platform events, and students led those workshops. My collegiate members led those workshops to get those young people better prepared. And of course, my students are going out and judging at the district, federation, and state levels. They are mentoring young people when they get asked to come out and help. One of the things we did on campus last year was during National Ag Day, we brought in speakers to talk about the importance of agriculture in the state of Mississippi and the U.S. and then, of course, in the world. And that was a really great event that was attended well by our dean and our faculty to really encourage students to understand that. And we're going to do something similar this year. I'm not quite sure what the students have in mind. I take students to National FFA Convention to judge the National Proficiency Awards and other events where they're needed, and we also work a recruitment booth at that event. And there's other little things that we do throughout the year, but the ones that I'm most excited about is where we can partner with current FFA members to really help develop those young people and to get them connected to the college So hopefully they end up coming up here. And, of course, I want them to be my students and major in agricultural education. But if not, at least bridge that link between high school and college to where hopefully that transition's a little bit smoother.
Well, throughout your involvement with FFA, how have you seen the organization evolve?
Oh, wow. I've been in it for, you know, going on 20 years now, a little bit more. And so one thing it is really evolved to try to branch out from what I would call the typical agricultural careers that are very production-based to being more mindful of the consumer type of agricultural events. Food science event was a new one, the food science career development event. Since I started in high school to teaching, and then now I think there's other career development events that try to bridge those gaps. There's some states that have certain events that are targeted to the needs of their states. There's also the proficiency awards have really branched out, and there's a lot more areas that students can apply in. One of the bad things is that we've lost a little bit of the emphasis of our supervised agricultural experience programs in that teachers are overburdened in other areas, and sometimes that's one of them that they cut back on. The evolution, I think, that's happening right now is branching out and looking at those supervised agricultural experiences under a different light and with more flexibility, allowing students to really be creative in what they do, allowing group projects, allowing some more projects that happen during the school day or at least on the school campus to allow students to have those experiences, because many of our students aren't coming from a rural or ag background and have that opportunity at home. So that's one of the ways it's evolved. And the National FFA organization is continually trying to find ways to engage people that aren't from the traditional ag background, because those are going to be the consumers, and we still need a large ag workforce, not just the farmers and ranchers, but people that are out there in those support industries, the agricultural professionals. So there's a lot of opportunities, and FFA is kind of the fun part of agricultural education, but it's not the only piece. And so it does do a good job of branching those other two components of the three-circle model that we have with classroom and lab instruction, FFA, and the supervised agricultural experiences.
All right. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I would like to thank anybody out there who's supporting their local agricultural education program and FFA chapter, because we couldn't do what we do without sponsors at the local, at the state, and at the national level. And sometimes while we say thank you back to our sponsors, I don't know if we can adequately explain and to illustrate and to show them just how much of an impact those sponsorships make on young people's lives. And I have students that would not be in college if it weren't for scholarship monies. The type of award programs that FFA sponsors is only available because of people out there in the communities that say, yes, I'd like to help sponsor this event. And so if there's anybody listening that would like to help, I mean, go to your local FFA chapter, your ag teacher, and ask, because there's so many things that if we can just get them the opportunities, it's unreal the type of experiences and places that young people can go. Two of the state officers here in Mississippi are still in South Africa. And those are because of sponsors that have helped support that program at the national level. For me, the passion is getting young people to be successful and find things that they're good at and passionate about, and then going out and putting that out into the workforce and paying their taxes and being productive members of society. So it's a big thank you to anybody who is sponsoring, either monetarily or with their time, their local agricultural education program and FFA chapter.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hawk. It was a pleasure to speak with you. That was Dr. Gaia Hawk, Mississippi State University FFA advisor. I'm Shaunika Otterby on FFA Today.